You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 14th of November 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I thought we would continue looking at what is happening with illegal immigration here in Britain and just with immigration in general and what is being done about it. Apparently, Suella Braverman has just done a deal with France to give them £60 million, as if that is going to solve this problem. That's exactly what the Conservative Party have continued to do. Exactly what Suella Braverman has just done. I mean, she was saying that we needed a radical new approach to this, and she was going to put a stop to it. But all she's done is just give more money to France, as if that's going to stop this. The only way you're going to stop this is to remove the pull factor, which is the reward that these people are expecting to get when they come into the country. That's why they break into the country, because they know they'll be rewarded. They'll be put up in a hotel and eventually they'll be given social housing. So we'll start off with a poll here. The British public overwhelmingly believe that the government is performing badly in handling immigration and asylum, with nearly 9 in 10 expressing their disdain for the Conservative Party response to the growing crisis. So 90% of the British public are not happy with the government and the way that the government is dealing with this. As nearly 40,000 illegal aliens have crossed the English Channel in small people smuggler operated boats from the beaches of France since the start of the year, a poll from YouGov has found that 87% of the public believe the government's handling of immigration has been bad. Nearly two-thirds, 62%, also believe that the government is doing very badly on that front. And you have to look at this and think, well, who are the people that think that the government is doing quite well at this? Well, I would suggest that that would probably be the people with non-European ethnicities, who we know must be making up at least 15% of the country nowadays. We've just had the census results, and the census results have told us the number of people that were born in foreign countries that are over here, and they're responsible for, I think, 60% of the population growth. But they're not actually telling us the ethnicity of the people that live here. But when they say it's people that are born in a foreign country, that just means people that have come over here in the last 10 years from another country. Not talking about the people that have been given citizenship in Britain, but that actually have a different ethnicity to a European one. So they're hiding this, and I should imagine that they are the people that think that the government are doing okay at this. And it's the indigenous British people, perhaps the European people that have moved to Britain as well, that think that the government are doing extremely badly at this. For those who believe that the government is doing poorly, the chief issue raised was the failure to stop the boats, full of mostly young men, from landing in Britain at 52%, with 46% also expressing the belief that the government does not take a hard enough line on illegal immigration. So people are mostly concentrating on these boats because that's what they hear about. I think most people are unaware that the government gave out 1 million visas last year. And they could be family visas. You could have 5 or 6 people coming in on each one of those visas. We just don't know. But generally, the public see these boats. They hear about these boats coming in. They hear about these hotels. And that's what people are most concerned about. And of course, our opponents will say, oh, yes, well, that's only 40,000 people. That's hardly a huge number of people that are coming in, and that's correct. But there's also this 1 million people at least that are coming in legally. Whether it's legal or illegal immigration, it still displaces the indigenous British people in the country. The recent spate of scandals surrounding overflowing migrant holding centres in recent weeks has seen the issue come to the front of mind for many more Britons, with the polling agency finding that immigration and asylum is now one of the most important issues for 37% of the public, up from 24% from just last week. So people's concentration has been on this, and I dare say part of that was probably this idiot that blew himself up, committed suicide, and threw a couple of petrol bombs at a migrant holding centre. That probably drew attention to this. So it was in the news last week. And I think that's really why attention's been drawn to this. It hasn't been that the BBC or ITV or anyone has drawn attention to these boats that are coming in. I mean, sadly, it was this... I think they're calling it a terrorist attack. Sadly, this... this attack that resulted in a guy killing himself is what's actually drawn attention to this. Over 4 in 10 also said that they felt the Conservative government has been allowing too much immigration overall. While the number of people who believe the overall level of immigration has been either good or bad for the country was evenly split in August at 29% on both sides, the sentiment that it has been bad has increased to 33%. While positive fell to 23%. So you're saying a third of the country believe that all immigration is bad, and slightly less than that believe that immigration is good. The 23%, I dare say again, that's probably people of foreign extraction that think that it's been a good thing. And the British indigenous, British people that think that it is a good thing, that is because they have been given false information, I suspect, and they're told that it's good for the economy and look at the wonderful foods that diversity brings, and they're probably not aware of the cost to the country. It's probably people that haven't got children that are struggling to get into the schools because all the school places have been taken up with newcomers. Sort of people that haven't been affected by the increased crime rate, people maybe that haven't been affected by the increased waiting lists at the hospital, the queues of traffic to try and get into work because we've got so many people now that are on the roads. And you just have to say, well, these people that think that it's been good for the country, they must be unaffected by these other issues, or they may think that these other issues are caused by something else. It seems that a lot of people are very concerned about this, particularly in Kent. Worried residents who call 999 over suspicious behaviour and even alleged crimes by illegal migrants are being told it is a matter for Border Force and not the police, a leading MP has said. And I guess what the police are saying is, well, these people don't even have any documents, so we can't really put them into the legal system because we don't know who they are. So they're effectively just allowing these people to commit crimes and then just forwarding it to Border Force to deal with. The revelation came from Natalie Elphick as more than 600 asylum seekers arrived in her constituency in Dover, Kent yesterday. And we are getting them arriving in numbers up to 1,000. This is the MP that Steve Laws was talking about last week. If you haven't heard the episode I did with Steve Laws, you should definitely check that out. It was very interesting to hear exactly what is going on in Kent. And this MP, although she talks about this illegal immigration being a bad thing, when you get people protesting against it, she tends to smear them as the far right and claims that she doesn't want people protesting in Kent. But how else are you going to draw attention to this? Residents of the town's Aycliffe Estate by Shakespeare Beach, a major landing point for illegal migrants, have told the Tory MP that they feel abandoned by police. Well, yeah, if you see people committing crimes, you expect the police to do something about it, not to pass the buck to Border Force. Miss Elphick said her constituents have called officers to report suspicious incidents involving migrants, but have been told the police will pass the information on to Border Force. She said the apparent policy was confirmed in a crisis summit that she held with force chiefs. She said it marked a change from 2 years ago when police would be the first to arrive. The residents told me police told them that they would let Border Force know, not that they will send a car around to look at it, she said. They wait for Border Force to do the operation rather than police dealing with the situation. Now, this must be very concerning for members of the public that have these migrants breaking into their homes. We know what the situation is like in Greece, where it's been going on for quite some time now with people coming across in boats from Turkey, and the people that actually live there in that area of Greece, that their lives have been completely ruined. It's the same with the people that live in Calais that have this what's called the jungle basically on their doorsteps, all these illegal immigrants camping out in a shanty town and breaking into their homes, breaking into their gardens. We're starting to see similar things now happening here in Kent. Last night, Kent police sources admitted suspected migrants are a matter for the Border Force and not for the police, but said that officers would still assist when needed and when resources allow. And of course they say, oh, we haven't got enough resources and this is a matter for the Border Force because these people don't have any documents. I dare say it just creates a huge headache for the police trying to deal with a criminal that there are no records of him anywhere within the country. Residents in Aycliffe say they have now become so fearful that they stay in and lock their doors when Border Force helicopters are flying overhead, signalling the arrival of more illegal immigrants. One woman was left so traumatised after her home of 30 years was invaded by a teenage migrant that she has since moved out. And of course, a lot of these people just won't even bother to call the police because they know nothing's going to be done about it. So we're having a couple of incidents of it highlighted here, but you know, there must be loads more of these incidents that have actually happened. Sue Doyle, 59, was at home 3 weeks ago when a 16-year-old Albanian slipped in through her back door and snatched her phone to ring a relative. Terrified, she alerted neighbours who raised the alarm, and the youth was detained by Border Force officers, not by the police. And of course, Albania is not at war. What are these Albanians doing still being in the country? Why are they not being captured by the police, for instance, and then just taken back to Albania? Miss Elphick said Kent police were initially unwilling to investigate the incident as a potential crime. They eventually agreed to visit Miss Doyle and take a statement, but advised her not to press charges. So they just humoured her. They said, yeah, we'll go there, we'll take a statement from you, but we'll also advise you, just don't do anything about it. Imagine that, somebody's broken into her home, stolen her phone, and she's told, just don't bother to press charges, it's going to be too difficult for us to deal with. Shocked, she has since moved out to live with her elderly mother. In another incident on the same road in August, Kerry Jones, 47, saw a migrant barge into her back garden where her six-year-old daughter usually plays. She screamed at him to leave, and he screamed back. Miss Jones then ran to the front garden and dialed 999, but she was told to go inside her home and lock the doors, and she said the police never bothered to turn up. Again, imagine that. Somebody breaks into your garden where the child normally is. Obviously, this woman is very frightened about that. She phones the police, and the police don't bother to turn up because the police know that it's just going to be another migrant and there's going to be no records of them. It's just going to be a headache for the police. Border Force should be preventing these people from getting into the country, not ferrying them across from France. They effectively pick these people up in their boats. The French Navy shepherd them over to where the RNLI is or where the Border Force are. They radio them, and then Border Force just act like a taxi service and bring them into our country. In places like Poland and Hungary, they literally push them back to where they're coming from. They put fences up, they have soldiers there, and they push them back. And they try to do the same in Greece. As Steve Laws was telling us last week, you know, we don't have to be doing this. We can interpret these laws and what they call international law. We can interpret it in any way that we want to interpret it. So why are we not doing that? Why are we saying, oh, well, we have to put these people up in a hotel, whereas in Hungary and Poland, they don't put them up in a hotel at all. They push them back or they put them in jail. Kent police said in a statement, officers work to keep the county a safe place to work and live. And if residents are concerned about any criminal activity, they should contact Kent Police. But yeah, of course, but they can contact Kent Police, but whether Kent Police will do anything about it is a different matter. Kent Police are just going to tell Border Force about it. Cities, towns and villages, from London to rural Lincolnshire, Wales is Snowdonia to Devon seaside resorts, are now providing emergency rooms at up to £150 a night per person for thousands of arrivals needing a roof over their heads in the growing immigration crisis. It is thought at least 200 hotels have now been taken over by the government, housing some 37,000 migrants. Approximately a third are marked on a map that has been produced, including a cluster of 20 in the West Midlands, housing hundreds of migrant guests. And that's what they're calling them. They're actually calling them guests rather than illegal aliens or trespassers. And the government are removing them from this Manston centre. They're taking them all around the country. I mean, all the way up to Snowdonia. I mean, northwest Wales is probably 600, 700, 800 miles away from Dorset, Kent rather, where these people have come in. And they're being put up in all these posh hotels, as I mentioned the other day. Marriages are being cancelled because people can't get married at the hotel that they had booked because it is now filled with migrants. The Mail has discovered that some state requisitioned hotels, now closed to the visiting public, have given sanctuary to young men earmarked for deportation after slipping into the UK on traffickers' channel boats within the past few weeks. So these hotels are even being used for people that have been told, well, you're not going to get asylum, but we'll still put you up in a hotel anyway. I mean, it is just a magnet to these people, isn't it? If they want to come to Britain on holiday, that's the way to do it. They know that they're going to be looked after, they're going to be put in a hotel, and then if they want to stay, they'll get given a house, a social housing, the government will pay the rent for it, or they'll end up staying in a hotel for a year. They can stay in a hotel if they like, get everything provided for them, or they can say, I've had enough of it now, you might as well take me back to the country that I've come from. It is absolutely ludicrous what is going on here. The Mail interviewed a young Albanian who paid £4,500 for the clandestine journey to Dover from France and was then sent to Manston Processing Centre in Kent for initial identity checks. He was placed on immigration bail, meaning that he was liable to be dispatched back to Albania, yet was still given a room at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Basingstoke, Hampshire, where he was free to come and go. So he's broken the law, he's broken into the country, he's been told that he doesn't have a right to asylum and he's going to be sent back to Albania. Yet instead of actually doing that, they put him up in a hotel and he's not even being watched by security guards. He has since walked out of the hotel and is hiding somewhere in the UK from where he gave this interview, despite being a suspected illegal immigrant. But the lack of security regarding hotel so-called guests, as Border Force staff are instructed to call migrants, is not the only issue. In other hotels, some have even protested over conditions. Again, we know that this has been going on for years, and there was a protest that went on in Scotland, in Glasgow, at a Glasgow hotel. The guests did not like the food or the internet speed, and they went out and murdered some people in Scotland. And there were a lot of asylum seekers and illegal immigrants that actually turned up for this guy's funeral because he ended up being killed, shot by the police, I think. But he got a knife out and started stabbing people because he didn't like the quality of the food he was being given at this hotel. Well, at the Holiday Inn Colchester, two visitors staged a rooftop protest last week, which was recorded on video and went viral online. The men shouted their demands in Urdu, the language of Pakistan, and were brought down to safety by police. And meanwhile, hotels in the most picturesque parts of the country now have migrant guests as MPs complain of a lack of a consultation by the government over the takeovers. And a lot of the local government in these areas where these hotels have been requisitioned by the government, the local governments have been taking the government to court over this, because the hotel is supposed to be used for people to stay overnight in one booking in each room. And what the government are doing is they're using the hotels as a hostel. And the hotels aren't licensed to be used as a hostel. They're not licensed to have more than one person in a room. So that's one of the reasons why the local governments have been taking the government to court over this. Also, the lack of facilities, because a lot of these hotels are out of the way. There isn't public transport by them. I mean, they're posh hotels. People expect their guests to turn up in a car to stay at the hotel. So there's no public transport nearby. They may be out in rural areas of the country, so they don't have enough facilities, doctors, leisure centres, all that sort of thing for them to use. And these councils are using these reasons to try and get this stopped. But what that has resulted in is some of these hotels not being able to be used for this, which means that the government are just paying for an empty hotel. The government is paying for empty hotel rooms as councils try to block agreements to house migrants in their areas, the High Court has been told. Hull and Ipswich local authorities argued at a hearing in London on Tuesday that there had been an unauthorised material change of use under planning rules through the Home Office's attempts to book accommodation for asylum seekers in their local areas. The councils asked for previously granted injunctions to be extended. So that's just Hull and Ipswich are doing this. We know that there are quite a few different councils that are doing this, 7 or 8 of them, I think. And what they're saying here, that it follows on from the Home Office's attempts to book accommodation for asylum seekers. It's not just asylum seekers, is it? As we just heard, it's people whose asylum have been refused are still going to be put up in the hotel. Lawyers representing one of the hotel companies told the court that the government is currently paying for empty rooms at its property because of the legal action. It's not that these councils want that to happen. They don't want these fake asylum seekers, these trespassers, in their area. I mean, some of these areas, as we just heard, down in Kent there, the residents in Kent are too frightened to actually leave their homes. It's the same situation just outside of Heathrow, where they have this Marsden Centre. There's so many of these illegal immigrants there that the people that live there are too frightened to leave their homes. The schools haven't got enough spaces for the people that actually live there, because the schools have been told that they have to have these asylum seekers' children there. And of course, the asylum seeker children, these unaccompanied minors, as they're called, as we've seen in the pictures of them, that most of them look like they're in their 20s. They don't look like they're 14 or 15 years old. And we know that the government refused to look at their teeth and do things like that to actually test them and see how old they are, because they've been told that that's against their human rights. This all comes as several local authorities across the country are now queuing up to take legal action against the government to prevent migrants from being housed in their local hotels. The court was also told that government contractor Serco is currently responsible for 35,646 asylum seekers, of which around 11,200 are being provided with initial accommodation at 84 hotels in different parts of the country. In the last week, Serco had to find places for 950 people. And we've heard of some of these people that have been put up in these hotels. They've actually been there for a year. I mean, some of them are protesting and saying, I've been in this hotel for a year. Isn't it about time you gave me a house? I mean, the sense of entitlement that these people have is just incredible. I mean, I don't know anybody that would think that they could just go to another country, break into that country, and expect to be given a house and expect to be looked after. But that's what these people have. And this is what they're told to expect. They're told to expect this by these NGOs, groups like Care for Calais, Israel Aid, or whatever it's called. There are various NGOs that go out to Calais. Care for Calais is one of them. They will go out to Calais, supposedly to help the asylum seekers and refugees and to help them out. And what they'll do is they'll go over there, and I'm not singling out any particular NGO here. This is just the sort of things that these NGOs do. They will go out there and they'll give the people there information of what they can expect, what will happen if they're not able to claim asylum. They give them the numbers to call for legal aid. They tell them what solicitors to speak to. They'll tell them all the benefits that they can expect to be entitled to once they get into Britain. They do the same with all the countries in Europe. They tell these people what they can expect once they get there. And the sort of people that are doing that are the anarchists, Antifa, left-wing people that hate their countries. So when the asylum seekers actually come into Britain, they come in with a big sense of entitlement, saying, look, we're entitled to have accommodation provided for us. We're entitled to only stay at the holding centre, Marsden Holding Centre, for 24 hours. And we now hear, I did see a news headline over the weekend about how some of them could now be suing the government because they've spent too long at this Marsden processing centre. And of course, the questions in the Houses of Parliament have been about what's going on here with this. They shouldn't be held in this holding centre for more than 24 hours. And then instead of saying, well, we're sending them back to Albania, or we're making this arrangement with a third country in Africa to hold them, we got Suella Braverman and we got Rishi Sunak talking about how they're booking hotels up as fast as they can. And it's the very fact that they're going to these hotels that is the draw for these people to come to this country. So we're told today that Suella Braverman is working hard at this, and what she's basically done is exactly the same as all the other Home Secretaries have done, and she's just given a load of money to France. Suella Braverman will announce a deal with France today to tackle the Channel crisis and is considering housing migrants in old campsites after the number to land on England's beaches this year passed 40,000. And it's actually been doubling every year for the last 3 years. The number has actually been doubling. And as I say, now you've got numbers as large as 1,000 people arriving in one day. And all the hotels are now going to be filled up. So they're now going to move on to campsites, it says here. But what they're actually talking about are holiday resorts. Holiday resorts like Butlins or Pontins that they're going to put these people up in. I can remember PA Wales protested about one of these holiday camps being used to put refugees in a year or so back in Prestatyn. And I think it wasn't actually used at the time, but now they're going back to that and they're going to put them up in these holiday camps. The Home Secretary's plan, that's this French plan with France, rumoured to cost at least £60 million, will fund more officers guarding the beaches in Calais and Dunkirk. Well, that's just more of the same, isn't it? That hasn't solved the problem. All the while, they think that they can get into Britain and they can stay here even if their asylum is refused. They're going to keep coming, aren't they? It doesn't matter how many police you put in Calais and Dunkirk. They're still going to keep coming. And they're not going to, and if these police see these boats, they're not going to puncture the boats. I mean, that is one suggestion that people have pointed out. Steve was saying you can just push these boats back. I mean, I can recall learning that if you're at sea, then you have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to defend your boat. Surely the border force can exercise that right, that they're just simply defending themselves and defending the country by pushing these boats back. Why can't they just pick them up and take them back to France? That's the deal that needs to be made. They should say, well, if Border Force or the RNLI end up picking these boats up, then they should be able to drop them off back in France. And if they were to do that, and they were to say, and if you do manage to break into Britain, if you do manage to come in through the Channel Tunnel or on the ferry, you're not going to be given asylum and you're going to be sent to Rwanda, or you're going to be sent back to France. Apparently, when they did the Brexit deal, the British government did not make any facility for sending people that tried to break into Britain back to countries in Europe, because apparently we did have a deal if people came into Britain from one of these countries in Europe, we could actually return them to that country in Europe. And apparently they didn't sort this facility out with Brexit. But I can recall before we left the EU, we weren't sending these people back. We still had a huge immigration problem. A French government spokesman last night insisted that Britain and France will work together in a resolute, determined manner to stop migrants crossing the Channel after 972 made the perilous journey in 22 boats on Saturday. But as I said, they do this every couple of years. The British Home Secretary goes to France, and they're told that they've handed over millions of pounds to France, and they're going to work together, the French police are going to work together with the British police, and they're going to put a stop to this. They have put a stop to it. It just doubles every year, And now we see Suella Braverman doing exactly the same thing, handing a load of money over to France. So why do they think that it's going to stop this? I mean, it never has before, has it? The agreement will see British Border Force officials accompany French authorities on the beaches as part of a joint control centre. It comes as Braverman examines a series of plans to find less expensive accommodation for Channel migrants, which could see them housed in disused holiday parks. They're just thinking about this in completely the wrong way, aren't they? Less expensive accommodation. They shouldn't even be here. What they need to be doing is sorting out a place they can send them back to, and saying, well, we are going to interpret international law in the way that we want to interpret it. And if you're coming here trying to claim asylum, you're supposed to do that in the first safe country that you come to. France is a safe country, so you should not have tried to break into Britain. So you're either going to go back to France or you can go to Africa. It's your choice. That's what we should be doing. Not finding less expensive accommodation for them, not paying France lots of money to do nothing. Old student accommodation buildings and budget cruise ships were also named as possible alternatives by Immigration Minister Robert Jenrick. Of course, Max Musson pointed out a year or two back that what they should be doing is using these cruise ships that couldn't be used. He was talking about that at the COVID time, I think, when cruise ships got stopped because of COVID. And of course, what they could do is they could just fill these ships up with the fake asylum seekers and then steam them around to Africa and drop them off there, couldn't they? But I doubt whether they will actually use these cruise ships. I think they'll just continue putting them up in hotels until they're full. The deal is finally done and it will be signed on Monday, said a French diplomatic source, who said the UK's annual contribution to policing the border will rise from around £54 million to the equivalent of just above £62 million. So this is exactly what they've been doing all this time. Hasn't solved the problem. Why does Suella Braverman think that if she gives another £8 million to France that this is going to solve the problem? It's not. It's just more money for France. It's just a waste of time. It just makes it look like the Conservative Party are doing something about this. The source added, the focus of the agreement will be on breaking up the people smuggling gangs using better technological surveillance, including more drones. Britain has paid some £175 million to France to police the Channel border since 2018. Well, what they should really be using is these military drones, shouldn't they? I mean, surely they can patrol the beaches with drones, and if they see one of these inflatable dinghies, surely they can fire on the inflatable dinghy so that it can't be used. I mean, that would be the way to do this, but they're only allowed to use these drones for surveillance. They're not actually allowed to use these drones to actually carry out any activities like that. It all has to be done with kid gloves. So this is very, very disappointing, really, to see Suella Braverman engaging in this, because this is just what the previous Home Secretaries did. They just wasted money on France. And I had hoped that Suella Braverman might do something different, but I guess that was rather optimistic of me, since every Conservative Party Home Secretary has done exactly the same thing every time. And just because Suella Braverman talks a good talk, it doesn't mean that she's actually going to walk the walk. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.